Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Bill Hillgrove scheduled for today. And you'll be able to hear Steelers football on 100.9 The Valley. Plus, I'll get to see Bill a couple times this year. Because Penn State's playing Pitt in football on September 10th. And coming right back and playing them in basketball at the Prudential Center in Newark on December 10th. So that's all coming up. And we'll talk to Bill about the Steelers and get also a quick read on Pitt. He's been able to take some time off. And we'll be able to get all that and much more from him. He's been able to take some time off. I guess he went up to Canada, which is good. I'm happy about that because, you need a little break here at some point. He's been able to get it, and with all the games he does during the course of the year. Sean, how you doing?
Doing wonderful, sir. Yeah, when I heard back from Mr. Hillgrove to get him on today's show, he was actually in Canada. So I said, you could have easily sent me a message when you got back.
Yeah, exactly.
But always looking ahead.
Yeah, no, and it'll be great to talk with him. There are very few people in this business that have been associated with one program as long as he has been associated with Pitt. Now, obviously, the Steelers as well, taking over for the great Jack Fleming years ago. But that is to his credit. Outstanding broadcaster that he is. Sometimes the word legendary is not used, to me correctly or anything else, but in his case, it fits. It fits.
Well, when you talk about legendary, too, I mean, his basketball broadcasting partner,
Dick Groat.
Absolutely.
Dick Groat, yes. Boy, they've been together forever. People talk about how long Jack and I have been together, and they talk about how long maybe Dick and I have been together. Not like that. Not like that. It really has been an amazing run by them. And I think fans enjoy the continuity of a voice year after year after year. At least in my case, I hope they do.
That's what we're banking on.
I sit there like I'm kind of banking on it myself.
So you and me here, we're only 4 months in.
Yeah. Kind of banking that they hang on to you for a little while, yeah. So we got that, and we'll have talk a little Pirates baseball here today, too, with one of our guests. We'll do that. What, Bill's 3:35, I believe, right?
You got it.
Yeah, and then after that, we'll work our way from there. And then at 4:06, we'll talk about the Bucks. I know that Dick and Milton, concerned about his Orioles, are now out of first place. They've lost four in a row now. And the Red Sox, who have virtually no pitching, are in first place by a half game because they have tons of offense. Lots and lots of offense. As explained 2 days ago by Tim Nebert, ended up sweeping the Giants, and Drew Pomeranz pitched last night. Their big acquisition from San Diego made it a whopping three innings. Oh, not what they're hoping for.
Love the throwback uniforms they were wearing last night.
Yeah, they wore the 1975 season uniforms with the red hats and the... Yeah, so they did that. That's fine. That's good. They look good. Brought back memories of going to the World Series and losing bitterly to the Reds. So it brought memories back up, okay? What do you remember about those uniforms? Oh, well, I remember they lost to the Reds. 7 games. Joe Morgan got a base hit in the ninth inning off Jim Burton. Other than that, I'm not bitter. Not bitter at all. But it was also last night when they were celebrating, what, Dominican night last night? Something like that. So they were doing all that and more. Something like that. So, great to have you with us here on the show today. And, yeah, good. So, plenty going on. There is baseball today. The Dodgers were winning last I saw over the Washington Nationals at a game that began at 11 o'clock this morning. Why did it start at 11? I have no clue why it started at 11. Let's see. We got Dodgers leading the Nationals 6-3 in the bottom of the eighth. Orioles trying to get back on track, lead the Yankees 4-1 top of the seventh. Detroit and the White Sox tonight. Tampa Bay and Oakland tonight. Red Sox and Twins coming up tonight. Let's see. What else? We got Atlanta, Colorado tonight. Milwaukee and Pittsburgh tonight. Miami and the Phils tonight. Phils are 44-52. And let's see. You got Jared Eichhoff tonight. You know what? Eichhoff I like. What do you think of him, Sean? I like Eichhoff a lot.
Well, with all the talk of Nola and now, you know, with another pitcher that could be on the trading block, I mean, doesn't really get the attention that the other two do. And with Vasquez, too. And, you know.
No. Does not. And Eichhoff's got a 3.76 ERA. Yeah, I know he's 6-10, but that ERA, that means something to me. And Tom Kohler will get the ball tonight for the Marlins. 6:30, the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So we're looking forward to that this evening. 7:05 first pitch. That will be Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson this evening. All right. CC Sabathia done for the day. Gave up a 2-run double to Jonathan Shoup in the seventh inning. No offense, but I think all of us forgot CC Sabathia was still pitching. Chris Tillman, by the way, who's the one guy that I think they feel they can count on, the Orioles, has actually settled down and pitched pretty well for them today. Packers President Mark Murphy has acknowledged that the NFL will interview Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers about possible PED use, but said the team won't have much involvement. Said the league is pursuing that, Murphy said. I know there's some resistance from the NFLPA about the credibility of some of the sources, but I don't think that we know much more than that. Well, you know what? Anytime a story starts with, according to Al Jazeera, really? Don't you think? Anytime I hear the story starts with, according to Al Jazeera, I sit there like, I don't care what they say.
Good luck getting a phone call or an email back from them if you try to reach out.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, are you giving them your phone number? You end up on a list. Come on. Forget that. I'm not going to do that. All right. Al Jazeera. According to Al Jazeera, click. I'm not going to watch that. Now, TMZ? All right, now I'm watching. No, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us as we roll through this Thursday. Bill Hillgrove, next half hour, we'll talk with him. And, let's face it, he needed a break at some point, and he was able to, it sounds like, get up to Canada to do it, which is great. And we'll talk with him in the next half hour. 100.9 The Valley is going to be carrying Steelers football this year. And, of course, Eagle 107 has the Eagles. And Bucknell. And we'll have Shikellamy football here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Milton on WMLP. Sealands Grove on Eagle 107. And Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley, and of course Penn State football and basketball here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Other than that,
we don't have much going. We apologize in advance that we don't have more.
Yeah, high school football will get rolling Friday, August 26th, week earlier than normal, just with the restructuring of the postseason and the classifications now moving up to 5A.
You know what? I asked the state college people about what they're doing. No. They're going to start the Friday night for the September 2nd.
Mm. That kind of, maybe because of the Grange Fair, possibly?
No. No. It is not. The, I'm trying to think what the heck their reason was.
I knew for the longest time a lot of the Center County schools, their first day of school would be day after Labor Day, just because of a lot of them being heavily involved with Grange Fair.
Has nothing to do with the Grange Fair thing. If it were Penns Valley, yes, Penns Valley would. And there's no doubt that Penns Valley would go out and would do something like that. Because the Grange Fair is in Center Hall and affects their school district. But not State College, no. So, I was given some reason as to why they did that. But, yeah. But they're going to start September 2nd. There's six classifications, and of course, Jason Lord was trying to explain to me, like, all, you know, this classification, who's in this. I have no idea what's going on. I mean, there's going to be 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A. I mean, do you know the classifications of the teams in our area?
Pretty much most of them are moving up one. So Sealands Grove will be Quad A.
Okay.
Shikellamy Quad A.
Okay.
Most part, yeah.
All right. Does the suit know?
Oh, absolutely. He would know more than me.
Yeah. But he's out doing suit-like things right now.
Yes, to make up for this morning, yes.
What did he do this morning?
Well, I don't know what he did this morning, but it just...
Yeah, Exactly right. Okay, you just spoke for Drew, Roger, Mark, everything. I don't know what he did this morning.
No, I turned the corner. I was going back to the break room to get another cup of coffee, and I looked over and said, oh, okay. Right. He was still here. Just pat him on the shoulder and go, the suit. But today, not wearing a suit, just a polo.
Ooh. Yeah. Sacrilege. In the world of suits, sacrilege.
I know.
There you go. yeah. Well, that's what's going on, and we'll talk about that football-wise. Next week is media day in the Big Ten. The ACC is announcing that they're going to have their own network beginning in 2019. Like every conference now needs this. You see MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, they all have their own networks now. And the same thing with the Big Ten, the SEC. Pac-12, yeah. Not that organized. Not that great. Let's get the bill in North Carolina. North Carolina House Bill 2. Mike Krzyzewski condemned the state of North Carolina's bill today, calling the law that directly affects lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people is embarrassing. He said, quote, it's an embarrassing bill. That's all I'm going to say about it. Mark Gottfried, the head coach at NC State, said, I'm against any law that allows discrimination, whether it's based on race, gender, sexual orientation. I don't understand how someone can support this. I think people at NC State, we believe in inclusion. Being a resident of the state, for me and my family, it's been frustrating. This actually, believe it or not, has a potential domino effect on Penn State basketball. They're talking about moving the All-Star game out of Charlotte. Well, here's the domino effect. Penn State is scheduled to open the season in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic against Marist at the Jordan Center on Friday night, November 11th. Well, now, and Duke is scheduled to open November 12th, Saturday, against Albany. But Albany will not be allowed to go. And the reason Albany will not be allowed to go is that Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill He signed an executive order in New York banning publicly funded non-essential travel to North Carolina. So Marist can't play Duke at Cameron Indoor. Can't. And they're now saying that it's possible that Marist may replace Albany on the schedule. Saying, well, Marist is from Poughkeepsie, but Marist is a private institution, so they can go. Same thing with Syracuse being in the ACC. They can go down there, too, because they're also a private institution. So where's the domino? Well, if Marist is going to play Duke instead, which it seems like that's the lean, does that mean Penn State now is going to play Albany to open the season? So it looks like it might be Albany instead of Marist that Penn State plays in the opener because of this bill that prevents Albany from playing at Duke. I mean, you can talk about the bill all you want, but at the same time, you got to wonder also, I mean, we're sitting here in Pennsylvania, it actually affects us? Now, I don't know what the resolution of all this is going to be. Who does?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history. And on this day in sports history, the Reno Racetrack inaugurated the Daily Double in the U.S. in 1931. No, Dick Girardi was not there. Now, Dick may claim that it was his idea, but he was not there. 1957, the great Althea Gibson became the first black woman to win a major U.S. tennis championship when she won the Women's National Clay Court Singles Competition and took care of that. 1968, Arnold Palmer became the first golfer to make $1 million in his career after he tied for second place in the PGA Championship. Now they get that for finishing in second place. And Alex Rodriguez, 2000th career hit, became the youngest player to reach the 450 home run mark on this date in 2006. Very pleased to be joined by someone I have tremendous respect for, the true, and the word legend isn't used properly most of the time, but it does in this case, the legendary voice of not only the Steelers, but Pitt football and basketball, Bill Hillgrove. Bill, welcome. It is great to hear you again.
And great to hear your voice, Steve. How's it going?
Going really well. Did you enjoy a little trip up to Canada?
I did. We go every year to a little town called Niagara-on-the-Lake. It's on the southern shore of Lake Ontario, and it's peaceful, and there are flowers everywhere, and lots of wine stores, and very good theater. So it's a nice week.
That is a really nice week and a great time to recharge. And now as you get back, a lot on the horizon, a lot on the plate. The Steelers will go to camp. I'll start with that and then eventually get to a little bit of Pitt as well. But Steelers going to camp, what are the general impressions and your thoughts going in as they start this thing out?
Well, I think their trend line is up, and everybody kind of knows that. And they look at the offensive trio of Ben and, Antonio Brown and, of course, Le'Veon. But it goes deeper than that. You know, this is going to be one of their best offensive lines in recent memory. And, Steve, I'll go back a couple of years. They talk about off-season acquisitions and how they project which teams did well and which didn't. Nobody looked at Mike Munchak as an addition in the offseason. But ever since then, you've seen this line get better and better and better. Now, health has something to do with that, but it's more Mike Munchak. And I think that line is probably going to do as good a job as any O-line in the AFC. That's my opinion. Defensively, they've got to fix some holes. But with Cameron Hayward back and playing in Pro Bowl form, the quiet emergence of the kid from Notre Dame on the other side, the speed at linebacker is astonishing. You know, recently, and Mike Tomlin told us this at the rookie luncheon back on the 8th of June, that morning, Ryan Shazier challenged the Steelers receivers to a 40-yard dash after practice. And Darius Hayward Bay, the veteran, the crafty veteran, said, no, I'm not getting involved in that because I think his best speed is behind him. But he beat three of the Steelers receivers. Now, Martavis Bryant wasn't one of them, but Sammy Coates was. Coates caught him at the finish line. And he also beat Antonio and Marcus Wheaton. So for a 238-pound linebacker to beat wide receivers, it's astonishing.
You mentioned the offensive line in that answer, Bill. What does a healthy Pouncey mean to the overall balance of that line?
It'll be much athletic. You'll see him pull more and get into the second level. And as good a job as Cody Wallace has done. And, Doug Legursky before him. You know, they don't have the athleticism that can get you into that second level. And that's where four-yard gains become eight-yard gains. And you'll see that in the run game. So I think it's going to be, it's going to be a great, I wouldn't say an addition, but it'll be a great reclamation.
You mentioned, obviously in the draft, Artie Burns was picked in the first round. And then Davis was picked in the second round. And I saw Davis a couple of times against Penn State and Maryland. I really like him, and I think he's an NFL-level safety if he keeps on his progression. What was your thought on how they drafted? And when you talked to Mike Tomlin, what was his feel for it?
Yeah, he says he's a football player. And that kind of describes it. And that is as good a compliment as an NFL player can receive. When somebody said, you're a football player, they're saying that, you know, how to play the game. You play it with zeal. You play it with no fear. And I think he fits that bill, you know, perfectly well. Let's face it, since Polamalu has gone into retirement, you know, there's a need there. And, you know, there's an age factor as well that they've got to figure to replace. You can't ask Will Allen to keep doing it time after time after time. So, you know, they have a needed safety, and I think he'll fill it, maybe not right away, but he'll get a lot of snaps.
I know, in obviously, you know, in working with Jack Hammond, we talk often about what's going on with the Steelers, and he's always told me about Le'Veon Bell, that what he really likes about him, you know, and he does everything well, but that he runs his routes like a wide receiver. He cuts routes like a wide receiver. Off that knee, is that something you'll watch for, Bill, early, as to whether he's rounding those routes now or if he's still cutting them? Because he can't be covered by a linebacker or a safety when he does that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and Jack's spot on. You know, and we'll keep an eye on that. But I think he didn't show a lot in OTAs. You know, they're giving him all the leash that he needs to get perfectly healthy. But I think once he's full tilt in practice, you'll see it. I can't imagine him rounding any routes. And if he does, guess what? D'Angelo's going to get more snaps than he reckoned for. So, you know, they've got the depth there. They do, and it's amazing. But Le'Veon, he was described by no less than Danian Tomlinson as the best all-around back in the league. This was a year and a half ago. And nothing has changed to make my opinion go the other way. So, you know, a lot will be expected.
Yeah, no question. The tight end spot without Heath. They did make a move in the offseason. What's your thought on that spot that has been so important to the running game as well as the pass game for the Steelers?
Yeah, I think it will be by committee. Jesse James, it looks like it's his time. But they won't ask him to play every snap. Because of the acquisition of Ladarius Green, you know, who can do a little bit of blocking but a lot of receiving. They released Matt Spaeth today. He didn't pass his physical. So they added another tight end, kid by the name of Dixon. I think he played at Tulsa, but I'm not sure about that. But, you know, I think it'll be by committee. And also, you know, Steve, that tight end is not used like it used to be. You know, there's more H-backs now than there are tight ends. So that's something to keep your eye on as well. Will Johnson can fill that role, depending on, you know, what the defense wants to do and where, you know, field position, down and distance and time and so forth. So, you know, I think it's going to be a committee thing.
Bill, years ago when both Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown were together, Steelers were the ones that early on said, you know what, we're going to give Antonio Brown the long-term contract. What was it that they saw early that has really paid such great dividends? Because obviously their evaluation of the situation was spot on while others weren't spot on about it.
Work ethic. There is none better in professional sports, not just the NFL. In any professional sport, nobody works harder or longer than Antonio Brown. And in the words of Mike Tomlin, he's in ridiculous shape, so guys get tired of chasing him. And I think he wins that battle of attrition, you know, after running route after route after route. The DBs say, man, I can't keep up with this guy. He's the Energizer Bunny. He can run all day, which I believe he could.
It's amazing. Also, when you return kicks, you have to have a feel. When you watch him return kicks, Bill, the instinct, what stands out about his instinct and feel for it?
There's no fear. You know, he feels that when that ball's in the air off the punter's foot, that he's in control. And he's figuring, you know, where are they coming from? How fast are they coming? How fast is the ball going to get here? And that's all kind of mapped out, and he takes a picture before it happens. It's like, what is it, cybernetics? Is that what they call it? And he's got that ability. You know, there are a lot of people say, well, he's going to get hurt. No, I don't think that is necessarily true. If he were returning kickoffs, yes. I'd say there's a good chance he's going to get clocked. But the punt returner oftentimes determines what happens. And he determines who hits him and when they hit him and if they hit him. So I'd continue using him there unless they find a return guy that's better. And that remains to be seen. We'll watch for that at camp as well.
Yeah, Roethlisberger, obviously. I haven't even asked you about him yet, but I mean, there can't be. He's in that group of quarterbacks where I think you pick which one's the best one in the league, and I don't think he gets maybe even enough recognition there.
I don't think he cares. He knows what he can do. He's an ultimate competitor. He understands the game, and he also fully understands what Todd Haley wants to do with that football. And I think you get that into the area of lethal combination of thought and execution, and you know it can be tough. Let's face it, the great ones play their best football. Great quarterbacks play their best football after the age of 30. And we've seen too many examples of it. And Steve, if you got number 7 at quarterback, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And yeah, there's only 5 or 6 of them in the league where you can say they have a chance. He's one of them.
Absolutely right. I have to ask you a little bit about Pitt here. One of the great stories, above all, is that James Conner is doing well. For everyone around, I mean, from the outside looking in, we're thrilled. Inside, they must be just thrilled beyond words because everybody says he's a great guy.
He is. He's a thank you, please, yes sir, no sir guy. But yeah. you saw the pictures of him. He wasn't allowed to hit in the spring drills, but he could do almost everything else. And here he is running up and down the field with a surgical mask on because he was subject to, contagious diseases because of the chemo. You know what he did? He took a page out of Merle Hodge's book, and he talked to Merle, and he talked to a few other guys, including that fellow from Kansas City. Who was it? Eric Berry? Is that his name?
Eric Berry, yeah.
Yeah. Who went through the same thing. And to a man, the two of them said to James, you're going to feel like a dog after the chemo. Try to put that out of your mind and go work out the next day. And he did it every single time. So he had 12 treatments. But after each one of them, no matter how sick he felt, he went out and did the things that can help his conditioning and his heart. And I tell you what, it's a real study, but he was wise in the pattern that he followed, both Merle Hodge and certainly the kid that plays for Kansas City.
Boy, that's tremendous. And, of course, with Allison already back, and I got to tell you, guy, I'm watching tape, Bill, I really am impressed with Nate Peterman. What do you like about him? What does he bring to what they want to do there?
Well, I watched him closely in the spring game because Matt Canada, the new offensive coordinator, has him out of the pocket a little more than he's used to. And that's one of the wrinkles that you'll see. But he may have misfired a couple of times in that spring game, but never, ever once did I see him throw to the wrong receiver. And you can't replace that experience. And that's why, as a senior now, they expect him to be able to carry more of the load than he did in the past. And there's no Tyler Boyd, but maybe that's good. Maybe he'll look to other people. Dontez Ford is a quality receiver, the transfer from Syracuse, kid from McKees Rocks. And they've got a couple of young guys that can fly. And so, I think the coaching staff must be convinced that they have enough receivers. Otherwise, they wouldn't have taken Elijah Zeiss, the young man from North Allegheny High School, and turned him from receiver into a linebacker. So it's going to be something to keep your eye on, who gets the ball the most times. But, they've got receivers. Zach Challingsworth, he made a couple of catches last year in the Duke game that defied description. And that kid's got good speed. So I think they're okay there. They have a transfer from UCLA that's going to figure in the tight end mix with J.P. Holtzgon. But Scott Orndorff is, he's a quality tight end and especially an effective weapon in the red zone. So I think that's stuff you can look for.
Yeah, I think it's Chris Clark from UCLA, right?
Yes. That's the kid.
Yep, exactly. It'll be interesting because this year it'll be September 10th, football, Penn State, Pitt, and then December 10th, it will be at the Prudential Center. And Kevin Stallings, who actually became a friend here because his son Jacob was a catcher for the State College Spikes when he came out of college. So this will be fun, I think, over the next few months for us here.
Yeah, the kid's a good player, and it's a great story, and that picture in the paper, Father's Day, was wonderful stuff. You know, I think it's his time is still ahead of him. It's a little too early, but, you know, because of need, they had to bring him up. It's going to be a great story to follow. Meantime, Pitt and Penn State are playing the second end of that Prudential doubleheader on that Saturday. So, Steve, I got to rely on your expertise because you have to bounce around, too. How do I get from Newark to Buffalo for a 1 o'clock kickoff the next day?
That's a great question. I would like to tell you to go over to Liberty, get a flight, and take it that night.
Well, maybe that's what I'll do, but thank goodness they're afternoon games.
Yeah, thank goodness they are afternoon games. That was because that's the first thing I thought of when I looked at it. Literally, was like, that's a Saturday, and I thought, I wonder what Bill's going to do about the Bills game.
Well, if it doesn't snow a foot in Buffalo, I have a chance to make that scene. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Hey, Bill, always a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you again. Can't wait to see you again as well. Thanks for carving out some time, and I hope it was a great vacation for you.
Steve Jones, always a pleasure to work with you. You're one of the guys in the business that I truly respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Charge!
We're from the town with that great football team. We cheer the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chuck Knob and Donkey's friends are all on the team. Go out and get them Steelers.
Okay. Is Jack on there?
Oh, it has to be. Absolutely.
I heard Bradshaw and Franco and whatever. I didn't know if Dobroshenko was on there.
Nothing quite like the Jimmy Pohl Steelers fight song. Dusted that one off.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There is nothing like it. All right. what was that one? The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. Da, 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 da. I'm like,
here we go.
Oh God.
Oh yeah. That's why I chose this one over there.
Every garage in Allegheny County must have what they think is a studio. All right. Boy, do I like Bill. He is. You know what? He's the kind of guy that over the years, just in listening to him, you know, in our profession, you learn a lot from him. I just have a great respect for what he does. And, so it's one of the great things about the Penn State Pitt thing being revived in a couple of areas is that we're, you know, just to see him, be around him. Just really, like I said, like him a lot. Great announcer, even better guy. And thrilled that the Steelers will be on 100.9 The Valley.
A week from tomorrow, 6 o'clock, they got to check in out in Latrobe at St. Vincent College. 51st year, they'll be out there for training camp.
Wow, 51st year. That's amazing. Well, Jack's first training camp would have been 71, right? Yeah, 71 would have been his first training camp. So Jack would have gone to training camp in 71, so that's 45 years ago. Now, when Jack and I get to the first tee at Chartiers Valley, I might use that. As he goes up to hit, I said, you went to your first training camp 45 years ago. And see if there's the possibility of a shank. I just need some edge somewhere.
It's just those 2.5 hours, you know.
just for 4 hours out on the golf course.
Yeah, big golf outing circled on your calendar.
Oh, no. This is all set up by the social director, Moeller. Mole Man's got it all set up.